Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Film Philosophers.
Hello, everyone!
Yeah, you did!
Welcome to The Film Philosophers. My name is Spencer. Eddie is not here this week.
You have usurped the throne.
I am in control of this podcast now.
Yes. And it's been a long time coming.
I am here with my co-host today, a Pokemon Ranger, Chad Riley.
I have no idea what that means, but I'm here. And thank you for the nickname.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, Eddie's decided to go AWOL. He got trapped in a Pokeball. And or a Poke Bowl, I don't know which one of the other, but we're here as a duet instead of a trio.
Yeah, it's gonna be a bit of a mess, but we are here to have some fun.
And only one of us knows Pokemon, and it's not the guy that never does homework, so it's gonna be fun. So presented as always by Mingle Media TV and VGB Studios, we actually have the privilege also of recording in our original home in the VGB studio. Studio.
Yeah. This is where I had my first episode, by the way.
And so many fond memories from that one. Yeah. So we are, we're kind of winging it, but it's good. It's fresh. It's fun. I mean, we just took a week hiatus because of how long the Endgame episode was. So
it was very long.
What a nice recovery. Pokemon.
Yeah, nothing like Detective Pikachu to get the ball rolling. Don't forget, you can find us on social media at facebook.com/filmphilosophers and on Twitter at twitter.com/filmphilosophy101.
And you can always catch all of our episodes, including the Avengers Endgame recap, if you haven't listened already. That's on our website at filmphilosophers.com.
We have 161 episodes as of this one.
That's extraordinary. I feel so accomplished.
We're doing a good job.
We're doing a good job together. So this episode, who knows? It could be a bit of a crapshoot, but it's going to be a fun one. We're going to have a good time. You know what you're talking about. I don't. I basically recognize Ryan Reynolds' voice and the little like electrical zaps from Pikachu.
Okay, well, that's a good starting point.
Here we go.
Well, let's talk about our movie today, Pokemon Detective Pikachu. The official synopsis is, the story begins when ace detective Harry Goldman goes mysteriously missing, prompting his 21-year-old son, Tim, to find out what happened. Aiding in the investigation is Harry's former Pokemon partner, Detective Pikachu, a hilarious, wisecracking, adorable super sleuth who is a puzzlement even to himself. Finding that they are uniquely equipped to communicate with one another, Tim and Pikachu join forces on a thrilling adventure to unravel the tangled mystery. Directed by Rob Letterman, this film stars Ryan Reynolds as the voice of the facial motion capture of the titular character, with Justice Smith, Catherine Newton, Suki Waterhouse, Omar Chaparro, Chris Greer, Ken Watanabe, and Bill Knightley in the live-action roles.
Spencer, you just aced that. All those names, all that detail. I think that that's one of the longest synopsises we've ever had on this show. And I think it's really interesting that following something like the epic 3-hour and 5-minute Endgame, mm-hmm. now we have the less than 2-hour Detective Pikachu, which, by the way, all week leading up to it, I was calling Detective Pokemon. That's how familiar I am with all of this stuff. So, yeah, but I think it's super interesting that they basically told the entire plot of the movie. So you and I are out of a job. That's the show. It's all good to go. So help me understand this a little bit, Spencer, because we did talk very briefly before the show started about there is some bit of a precedent for a few of the elements that we see working in this movie. There's been, obviously, a cartoon series, the card games, the Game Boy, the other platforms.
Yeah, lots of video games.
Apparently there's been a movie before.
There's been several movies before.
See, this is how much homework I did.
Oh, jeez. Well, let's start
with this test.
Let's start with you, Chad. What is your experience with the Pokemon universe?
Pika, pika.
That's about it. That, honestly, when the trailer for this movie came out, mm-hmm. and it was, you know, that was the first time that people really saw the character of Pikachu with the voice of Ryan Reynolds speaking out of its mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That trailer included more information in it than I had ever been aware of or known for Pokemon before. So Pikachu is a name I recognize. The little sound that he makes, I recognized. Ryan Reynolds' voice, I recognized. And that's pretty much where it stops. I know about the Pokeball that traps them, right. and then they have to, like, give their lives in gladiatorial combat. There's lots of bloodshed.
Well, okay. They're not gonna.
They explode into sparkles.
Wait,
they have weird
into
names.
Sparkles.
I'm assuming. I mean, they have to do something when they're killed, right?
No, there's no death in Pokemon. They just faint.
They faint? What a letdown.
There is no way that this would have been like 90s approved. Things were just dying
There's
every week.
There's no death in Pokemon. They faint.
Yeah.
I guess it's a kid's show. Or a kid. What did it start out as? Was it a card game first?
Oh, gosh. I think it started off as a manga first. And
Makes
then
sense.
More from like card game to anime show. But I could be wrong about that. I'm most familiar with the anime show. That's what got me kind of drawn in. I was.
And
like,
how old were you when you got hooked?
Probably around 10, 11, around there.
Okay,
so
nice.
Like,
so
pretty much target demographic.
If
at the time.
If you don't mind me sort of butting in and making an analogy here, Pokemon is to Spencer as Marvel Comics is to Chad. Because I started reading, X-Men was my first Marvel Comics series, and I was about 9 years old, I think.
Yes.
So,
okay,
it's a good time to pick up a habit.
The only difference, I'd say, is you've probably kept up with Marvel Comics as I have dropped off Pokemon.
Okay.
Because
I feel a little bit better. I still feel woefully unprepared for this conversation. I did see the movie.
Yes.
So that prepares me. That's my prerequisite for talking at all.
It's like the baseline requisite right there.
Hey, I have done episodes before without seeing the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Once.
Coco.
I did Coco.
No,
twice. No,
there was another one, yeah.
What was the other one?
I don't know. You were not interested in seeing it, and so you just didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So you started engaging with the anime at 10 years old-ish.
Yeah, and then I got into the video games from there. I think I dropped off at the anime at some point, but the games were still pretty fun. And I stayed on the games till like around 2009-ish because they were still pretty interesting to me. So I have a good familiarity with chunk of the Pokemon. They keep adding on because of course they do.
Is there an active like show now?
Yeah. There's been an active show this whole time.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So it's like Power Rangers where they just revive and reiterate.
Yeah, except I'm pretty sure
or is it
most
like
of the shows
Simpsons where they just don't age. They just add.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's more like that. Well, okay. Except there's more rotating characters in Pokemon than The Simpsons.
Because, like, if I remember correctly, there was, like, the boy with the baseball hat.
Yep, he's still
who was,
it.
Like, the main trainer? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, they're called Pokemon trainers.
Not, like, slave traders, but trainers.
Yeah,
okay.
Pokemon trainers.
Okay, I'm starting to build a bit of a mental map. Where does Pokemon Go fit into all this?
Pokemon Go is just bringing Pokemon to the real world so you can go catch them. That's basically it.
Like, Pokemon are real?
Well, in the heart of a child.
Or for people whose eyes are plugged into their phones. What's your favorite Pokemon ever?
Ooh.
And did we see that character in this movie?
My favorite one? No, we did not. I don't believe so. I wouldn't know.
So I will have zero reference.
Yeah.
Whatever you say. I will not know.
I'm going to say Infernape. He is basically a giant gorilla who is on fire. So
that sounds pretty wild. I mean, honestly, some of the characters in this movie are pretty wild looking.
Yeah.
And the very first one that you see, I know we'll do our regular rigmarole in a second with like, what'd you think going into it? But the first Pokemon character that I recall seeing in like the prologue part of the movie is the main antagonist in a certain form. And my first thought was, ew, that one's ugly. It's like scaly. It has this extra like bump of something coming out the back of its neck. And it just didn't look very appealing. I'm like, this is, knowing how cute Pikachu is, I was like, you're going to start it with this ugly thing?
There are a lot of ugly Pokemon.
There really are. There are. So, yeah, it was an interesting experience for me. Let's go ahead and back up, do our regular thing. So you have a pretty good grounding in the franchise, the Pokemon franchise. I have zero footing whatsoever. I am like, if this is the face of a mountain, I am just sliding down the side of it with as much momentum as my body weight can maintain. So I'll go first.
Okay.
Because I won't have a lot to say. The trailer, again, I recognized Ryan Reynolds' voice. I was like, what? Pokemon talk? Like Pikachu says something other than Pika Pika, which the trailer went ahead and like corrected my thinking within itself. So having seen the trailer, I thought the most interesting element of the movie for me was going to be like seeing what the explanation was for why Pikachu was carrying on human conversations with the human character played by Justice Smith. So I have no expectations for which Pokemon we're going to see aside from Pikachu. Even the ones in the trailer, I didn't really make note of what they looked like. So you could have like totally swapped, like, you know, pulled a Marvel and swapped out scenes altogether. I wouldn't have known. I would have been none the wiser. As long as Pikachu was in it and he sounded like Deadpool, I would be fine. So I had no idea if the human character was like the boy with the baseball cap.
No, this is a new character.
Something else was going on. I had no idea really what to expect. I did not expect to honestly be as somewhat lost as I felt at times. Having seen the movie, one of the things that I laughed at coming out of the film was the realization of like, this is what people feel like when they leave a Marvel movie and they know that they missed something. Like that it was, maybe it was just an Easter egg. Maybe it was just a wink and a little elbow to the side. Like, see, we did that for you fans. And I felt like there was so much in this movie because some of these scenes are very, they have depth to them. There are like human and Pokemon characters interacting like hundreds of feet down a city street.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot for people to notice and appreciate and like, oh, I like that one. Oh, I remember that one. They retired that one however many years ago, whatever. it was all above my head. So basic story was easy to follow, but I walked out laughing because I'm like, this is what people feel like when they go watch comic book movies with me.
Yeah, probably. Like, because like even with Marvel movies, there's some times where I can see like, this is something.
Yeah,
I have no idea what is it. Like when they introduced Adam Warlock, I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah, cool. It's a shiny gold coffin. Nice. Yeah.
So,
having seen the trailer though, before seeing the movie, what were your expectations? Were you wanting to like it, hate it?
Before seeing the trailer?
But no, before seeing the movie, seeing the trailer. Okay.
So, I'll start
because Pikachu typically doesn't speak in human sentences with Ryan Reynolds' voice, right?
Yes, that's normally not a thing.
Okay, good.
Well, before, like, I'm just going to start there. Before I saw the trailer, I was like, meh about this whole movie because, you know, there's been, like, a ton of Pokemon movies and, like, them going to live action format, I didn't think that was going to really work super well because, well, the Pokemon company has a tendency to play things safe. So I didn't think this was going to be anything to really want to talk about. Then that trailer came out. And then I was like, 100% on board for this movie.
Because what changed your mind?
One, instantly seeing Pikachu, he looked good. Like in a three-dimensional space, he looked like he's
believable.
There. Yeah. So I was like, okay, like that was really the thing. I did not think you were going to pass off well, and it worked. So I'm here for Ryan Reynolds, even though Danny DeVito would have been cool. I'm here for
a little older, more curmudgeonly.
I'm still here for Ryan Reynolds. So I was really kind of interested in seeing how this movie was going to turn out because it looked funny. Yeah, there are a lot of just, you know, nods to like all sorts of Pokemon just everywhere, left and right. Also, tons of questions about how this city works, because like it kind of implies that Pokemon have jobs and make money sometimes. But
heck yeah, they got those little like squirt gun turtle things being firefighters.
Oh, the Squirtle Squad.
They save lives. Or at least put out garbage fires.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting world that I have a hard time understanding.
Here's a question from Mr. Know Nothing over here. Is there a precedent for this place? Like, it's what Rhyme City is called in the movie. Does Rhyme City exist in any of the other properties? Is Pikachu a detective somewhere?
There is a Detective Pikachu video game, actually.
Oh, okay.
I have not played that. I have no idea what it's about. Rhyme City, I do not believe that exists anywhere else. However, I do notice someone mentioned that, like, the train system that Rhyme City runs on was actually one that was talked about in the show, which is kind of crazy that, like, they went back to like the show to pull some things out of it besides just the Pokemon.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's interesting.
So the train, there's a precedent for the train.
Yes.
But not for the place.
Yes.
I like it. I can dig it. So you haven't played the game that has Detective Pikachu in it.
No, because it's just different.
But to your knowledge, his identity as a detective has been seen somewhere before, but the way that this story runs is different than any other property.
To my knowledge, it is, but I could be wrong because I haven't played the Detective Pikachu game.
Well, I wouldn't know one way or the other. So you walk in, you sit down at the theater, you're excited because Deadpool Pikachu is a reality now, and the movie opens. It introduces a totally different Pokemon to begin with.
Right. We start off with Mewtwo, which
apparently that one's a big deal.
Yeah. Okay. So there is Mewtwo was the main antagonist of the very first Pokemon movie.
Okay.
So like it's kind of a bit of a deep callback to find him in a lab, because I'll move forward a bit. A little later on in the movie, they mentioned that 20 years ago, Mewtwo escaped from a lab. That whole lab escape was part of the first movie, which is interesting that like they would pull that as like a reference framework for this version of Mewtwo.
So this movie, this live action movie, possibly exists in the same universe as the cartoon movie?
Potentially.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's some phrasing I want to hear Mewtwo say before I want to be like, oh yeah, definitely, but like it would allude to some things happened a long
time. So Pikachu is a lot older than he looks.
That's a different Pikachu. There are many Pikachus. That Pikachu is not the same Pikachu from the first movie, most likely.
I don't know how to process that information. I know we saw like multiple, what do you call them, Squirtles?
Yeah.
We saw multiple monkey things, multiple like other walking turtle-like things. And again, I'm not much help on this conversation. So we saw multiples of other Pokemon.
Yeah,
I guess
so
it stands to reason that there's more than one Pikachu. But like, isn't Pikachu like a name?
Pikachu is the name of the Pokemon, so all of the Pikachu Pokemon run around saying Pika Pika all the time.
Do they have any identity of their own?
Well, the one in the movie has a hat.
I don't need the sass, Spencer.
No, like, but that's kind of how a lot of the show would go. Like, if there was ever like, unless you're trying to show a herd, like, most of the Pokemon always look the same. Unless it was, like, going to be around for a bit, then they try to be like, ooh, this Pikachu has a cool coif in its hair or something.
Oh.
So you could tell the difference between which one was which.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, mind blown. So we meet Mewtwo.
Right.
Who we learn later had escaped from a lab 20 years before. Mm. We witness him escaping a lab.
Yes.
Immediately in the beginning of this movie and doing some devious, conniving, maniacal stuff to a car on the road. And then we get introduced to the main human protagonist, Tim.
Yes.
And Tim is with a friend who's wearing a baseball hat, but I'm assuming this is still not supposed to be.
It's not. No.
What's his face from the
Ash?
Ash.
Yes.
I was going to call him Steven. So this isn't Ash from the cartoon series and all the other stuff. And they are trying to... Tim... They have a Pokeball, and they're trying to get Tim his own Pokemon.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess most people do.
Well, I'm going to assume we're going by the show rules here. Most people have the opportunity to get their first Pokemon around their 10th birthday so that they can become a Pokemon trainer if they so choose to. I have no idea how that would work in that kind of economy, but...
Now, the interesting thing to me as a complete outsider was during this sequence where Tim is trying to catch, I don't know what they're called.
That was a Cubone.
Cubone. Oh, yeah. They said that. Because he's wearing like his dead relative's skull over his own face and like squalling in the field.
Yeah, that's a detail to Cubone's terrible, terrible story where his mother dies and he puts on the skull of his mother and starts crying.
Which has to be true of every Cubone.
Yeah, which that's is kind of crazy.
Super odd.
Yeah.
The thing that I didn't know going into this, which I was like, oh, it is somewhat family friendly after all. I literally, like, if you told me these people are slave trader, gladiator combat, blood sport, whatever, with these cartoon characters, I had a lot of sympathy for the cartoon characters because I'm like, that's not fair to them. That's not okay.
Right.
But in trying to capture the Cubone, there is some dialogue that references the need for the Pokemon to also choose the human. And if the Pokemon does not choose to essentially... of its own volition, go into the Pokeball, then there's not a match and the human can't capture it. Is that accurate? Like, because to me, it softened up like the most uncomfortable part of the story to me, which was that they enslave cartoon characters and force them to fight to the death in the arena.
There's no death, remember, fainting. So
allegedly.
Yeah, so that's kind of like the uncomfortable like underscore of like the whole Pokemon thing. They play fast and loose with that rule. Like that's true sometimes, but then there's like Pokemon that are just like, I don't want to be in this ball anymore, and they just like get out and like walk around or something. So like
interesting.
The rules are kind of whatever to that whole I choose to be with you. Because, like, there was notoriously, like, this Charizard in the show that was, like, kind of antagonistic to its trainer. Like, would set him on fire on several occasions.
Wow, that's not kind of. That's, that is straight up, well, pyro... maniac evil.
Yeah, he was fine, though. So it's a thing. In the Pokemon universe.
He was fine. He was set on fire, but he was fine.
Yeah, you know how cartoons like to just... Yeah. You can do all sorts of things in cartoons and just be fine. So, yeah, it's hard to really say. If they want to go with that in the movie, I'm going to guess that's going to be true for most of the Pokemon.
Interesting.
It's also interesting how they kind of sidestep that whole question for the most part. By going to a city where Pokemon just walk around.
Right, like it's very different. I mean, number one, I didn't realize that like in this universe, everybody has their own Pokemon. And I just didn't understand. There's a lot I didn't understand. But then, so Tim, your human character, he tries to woo, capture...
Yeah.
somehow obtain this Cubone.
Right.
Cubone says, heck no. Mm-hmm. And so Tim and his friend have to run away. And then Tim receives information like the next day that something's happened with his father, who is a detective in Rhyme City.
Yeah.
Which is where humans and Pokemon live together in perfect harmony. Mm-hmm. They have jobs together. They still don't really communicate with each other very well because they don't speak a common language. And so he has to go on his epic quest, right? Using story terminology. He has to go to the place where his father worked and lived, which is different from where he lived. And he's going to try to find out what happened to his father.
Well, initially, didn't he just go there to, like get his dad's stuff and then leave? And then, like, he got roped into a whole bunch of nonsense once Pikachu showed up?
Well, I mean, if you're trying to be cold about it, yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. He just went to go get what was his, I guess, left over from his dad. But, yeah, he does get roped in because when he finally, well, he meets his dad's boss at the police location. I don't know if they have a place. Yeah,
it's a police station.
It's a police station. Like, yeah. I'm like, does it have a special name? Because the Pokemon live there too, or no, do things or whatever.
No, they have police stations in the show. So
okay, so police station. He learns from the main detective. Police chief, maybe. I don't know. He's never really given a title. And then he goes to his father's apartment, and someone is there. And you learn that the someone then is Detective Pikachu, who is different from all the other Pikachu
yes.
creatures that you never see. Pikachu is the only one that you only see one of. All the other ones you see multiple, at least in the street sequences.
I bet you that was just to avoid confusion.
Because, I would be confused.
Yeah, and that's probably why they try to avoid it, having other Pikachus in the movie. But they've done that on the show. Like, there's been herds of Pikachus before.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's weird. But when Tim first goes to the city, I'm guessing, as a total outside spectator, that's a pretty big moment for Pokemon fans. Because, as mentioned before, these city sequences are deep. Like, there are blocks worth of human and Pokemon characters wandering around doing different things, flying, falling, putting out fires, all sorts of stuff. Was there something that stuck out to you as particularly unique or interesting about how they portrayed, like, the jobs that these Pokemon do and which ones they chose to put in the movie?
No, like, as just a fan of Pokemon, like, you kind of just, like, spend a lot of time, like, looking around. It's like, oh, they have that guy and that guy and that guy. And it's like, then there's this Machamp that is directing traffic. I was like, that's an interesting choice for a job for you, seeing as how you're very strong. But, you know, you do you, Machamp. I mean,
he's flexing all the time. Go this way, go that way.
Yeah, he's a show-off Pokemon. I was surprised, like, okay, there's an ongoing gag in the show that each town in both the Pokemon Hospital and the Pokemon, just the regular police station, there are the same people. There is an Officer Jenny, like, because, like, in the show, like, they meet, like, the Pokemon Nurse Joy and Officer Jenny, who runs the police office. Uh-huh. And then they go to the next town over and they meet again an Officer Jenny and a Nurse Joy. And they're like, we just saw you in the last town. It's like, that was my cousin. And so, like, I was kind of hoping to see, like, since we were at the police station, to see an Officer Jenny, because they did choose to bring in the Pokemon Growlithe, who is a fire, like, little dog type.
Oh, is that the weird dog thing that just, yeah.
Yeah. They're normally, like, the police dogs. So okay. It was cool to see that them. I would have liked to see a blue-haired Officer Jenny somewhere in there. That would have been kind of a cool nod, too. But, no, there was... this movie is stuffed full of, like, just interesting, like, Pokemon in the background that you wouldn't notice are important unless you've either played a game before or seen one of the movies.
Well, that explains why I didn't notice hardly anything. No, I saw them. I mean, I saw... especially the ones that are repeated, because I was paying attention to What are the big statue looking ones that have like a slash across their chest? The iron ones, the really tall ones.
Oh, they were standing out front of the police station. Yeah. I actually did not know what that one was. That's a newer one for me.
Okay, because I was looking at it and I'm like, they have the like scar burn slash thing in the same spot on their chests. And I'm like, did they all get hit the same way with the same weapon?
Most Pokemon, if they have like a scratch can be built into like all of their, like all other versions of that Pokemon like that. So
interesting. In general, do you have any awareness? Like, are the Pokemon born or made?
Pokemon, pulling from the video games and the show, Pokemon are born from like eggs.
Okay. Interesting. So Tim also encounters, in going to his father's apartment before he actually runs into Detective Pikachu, who speaks with Ryan Reynolds' voice, he encounters a young woman who's an intern at the news station in Rhyme City, and she has what I can only describe as one of the most irritating and annoying characters I've ever seen on film.
Thank goodness you agree with me on this.
Which is like Quacker McQuackface. I don't know what his name was, but...
Oh, Psyduck.
Right, because he just goes around saying his own name all the time.
Psyduck is supposed to be annoying.
Like, the worst.
Yeah, that's kind of actually on brand for Psyduck.
Like, I was like, can we not ever see this character again after that first scene? Unfortunately, he shows back up later. But it was exceptionally irritating for someone like me. But then she's kind of following this trail of investigative breadcrumbs, trying to figure out what happened the night that Tim's father disappeared after a car accident, and what led to the car accident and all that kind of stuff. And and so that's a whole element, because there's a little spark of connection between them eventually, and I didn't really understand that. But that was when it dawned on me, when he encountered her in front of the mailboxes at his dad's apartment building, and that really irritating duck, that's when it occurred to me, like, oh, like, everybody except for Tim has their own Pokemon. Everybody. They don't just work together. Like, some of them are still owned or indebted to each. I don't know how. Is it like a Han and Chewbacca kind of a thing where it's like, you saved my life, so I'm going to follow you around forever and protect you? Or
for some it is, for some it isn't. Some just like each other, so they're like, oh, I'll hang with you and help you with your dishes and stuff.
I tell you what they need. Social workers. Pokemon, they need some social workers to figure that mess out and let them all live independently of each other. But so then he goes up, he encounters Detective Pikachu. As we saw in the trailer, they learn, each of them learns that the other one can understand them fully, even though other people can't. And they become partners in trying to find out what happened to Tim's father, the detective.
Right.
Turns out Pikachu was Tim's father's Pikachu. And is therefore a detective also?
Apparently.
So they start down, you know, this road of investigation, but the first challenge they encounter are the weird monkey things with the big hands.
Yeah, the Apom.
Because they've been driven crazy by some gas.
Yes, this mysterious gas that Tim finds in his dad's apartment. And he also attributes this gas as being the reason why he can understand Detective Pikachu in the first place.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, and the gas is this weird purple thing that wafts out of the apartment, hits all these Apoms hanging out on the apartment building neon sign, and then they're all like, basically, like, rabies manic evil.
Yeah.
For a while, until the effects of the gas wear off. And they almost kill him.
Yeah, that was...
Or make him faint. Excuse me. They almost make him faint.
Right, there's no death in Pokemon.
There's apparently no death in Pokemon, which explains a lot later on, because my biggest problem with this movie is still to come.
Okay.
The duck was the biggest part of the problem until this other thing happened. So anyway, we learn that the gas came from the laboratory mm-hmm. where
Mewtwo broke
Mewtwo,
out.
Mewtwo, yeah. The ugly looking one, broke out. And it comes from him, right? Somehow? The gas is like part of his DNA or something?
Yeah, that's the thing. They kind of just like, Mewtwo gas. Or like, I was like, wait, what? Because that's never been a thing. And I don't fully understand how that works.
But it like drives other Pokemon berserk for a time.
Yeah, which is very odd.
Yeah.
So
especially when you get to the later part of the film where there's a lot more gas and the effect is not like rabid evil, like it's different. So long story short, Tim and Detective Pikachu slowly over time bond with each other. They have the fun interrogation scene with the mime.
Oh, Mr. Mime.
Mr. Mime. And it's all very interesting because Detective Pikachu, the other thing that's complicated about him is, yes, he can speak and Tim can understand him, but Detective Pikachu has amnesia.
Right.
So he doesn't know anything really before going to his partner's apartment and trying to find clues.
Yeah.
Did you find anything off or unique about the way that this particular Pikachu behaved versus the way they typically do?
Well, technically, it'd be everything.
I mean, obviously, the talking part, we know, is not normal.
Not normal for Pikachus, no. There are other Pokemon who can talk, but that's also kind of like a rare thing. Because in the TV show, there was like one Pokemon who had the ability to converse with everybody. So that was
okay.
Interesting. Actually, Mewtwo also had that ability to converse with everybody.
I was
going to
say,
well,
Mewtwo does
yeah.
use sentences or words at least.
Yeah. So, but, well, I guess it's kind of weird because things are slightly different. Like, I would say I've never seen a Pikachu go after a coffee like that. However, I do know from the TV show, Pikachu loved ketchup. As much as he loves coffee in this. So
okay.
It's not really, it's not super out there, but it's just like, it's kind of like similar things, but slightly different really for the most part.
A tendency toward food cravings. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do Pikachu tend to, how do I want to ask this question? Do things of their own volition? Like, do any Pokemon do things of their own volition very often, or do they always do only what their trainer tells them to do?
I know, like, that's a thing that they'll just do whatever they feel like for the most part. Generally, most Pokemon have, like, a trusting relationship, and, like, if you think this is a good idea, I'm gonna do it, buddy, type mentality. Other Pokemon are like, I don't have to listen to you, I'll do what I feel like. And so, you run the gamut in between there, too.
Interesting.
You're being immersed in a world of Pokemon.
And I'm not sure how I feel about it. So we won't give a total play-by-play, but eventually these two characters find themselves back at the laboratory where all this mess went down. Mm-hmm. Tim is more and more convinced that his father isn't actually dead, but something else. Mewtwo did something to his father after Mewtwo escaped this laboratory this time. And so they're over at the lab trying to figure out if they can piece back together what happened. Pikachu's getting small snatches of memory back. And I don't remember her name, but the reporter girl.
Oh, her name's Lucy.
Lucy. You'd think it would be easy for me to remember that, but I was having enough trouble like distinguishing one element of the story from another. Again, it's a very visually rich movie. There's a lot going on in some of these scenes, but and her whatchamacallit duck?
Psyduck.
Psyduck, yeah. So they're there. They trigger something unfortunate in the lab and have to make an escape. And this is where I had my biggest problem.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's see if we can deal with this together.
So, and I don't remember exactly the sequence of events.
Okay, but I'll try to help you with it.
They're being pursued by these other Pokemon.
Greninjas.
Greninjas, thank you. And they basically try to give Psyduck an aneurysm so that Psyduck will do apparently the thing that Psyduck is actually good at doing.
Yeah, okay. So Psyduck, so Pikachu is an electric type Pokemon. He deals with like electricity.
Yep.
Psyduck has two types. He is a water type because he's a duck and can do some water moves, but he's also a psychic type. So he has the ability to like use psychic attacks against enemies. And so Psyducks are notorious for their headaches. If a Psyduck's headaches gets too bad, they kind of just have like a psychic explosion. Mm-hmm. So that's why Pikachu was all wary from being around him, because he knew it was just a ticking time bomb. And pretty much every Psyduck that anything's ever ran into has been a ticking time bomb until something happens. So, yeah, like, at that point, they were kind of, like, being chased by a whole bunch of Greninja. They're trying to get away, and so the best option, since Pikachu was having a hard time using his electric powers...
Yeah, he was having, like, performance anxiety the whole time.
They were trying to get Psyduck to just basically psychic them away, which they eventually did, but caused a large psychic shockwave.
Yeah, it was this, like, enormous...
Mm-hmm.
Dome explosion thing from his brain, and then he gets like woozy and whatever. So I was like, good, he's gonna shut up for a while. And he did, he shut up for a little while, but then he started talking again and he said the same thing he said before. But then like the whole landscape starts moving and breaking apart. It's extremely dramatic. And at first I was like, dude, did that annoying duck thing do all of this? But then it got really cartoonish, and it just really, none of it made a lot of sense, because there was way too much movement. And long story short, they all end up on like a precipice, a cliff overlooking water, and they can see what's happening in the land, which, is this like a huge spoiler that these things are in this movie?
No.
Okay. So the land actually isn't land at all. It's like a series of huge, enormous, turtle-like mountain Pokemon things.
Yeah, I think those ones are called Torterras. The lab that Mewtwo had been stuck in, they were genetically messing with Pokemon, and the Torterras, they tried to make as big as possible for who knows why. I don't know why half of these experiments were happening, but they were just trying to mess with Pokemon evolution, and they were trying to see how big can we make a Torterra. Apparently, the answer is as big as a mountain.
So. Yeah, and there are several of them.
Yeah, there was like four.
But, like, Psyduck was a big problem for me.
Mm.
Like, I wanted to leave the theater sometimes when it was talking because it was really legitimately one of the most annoying creations I can think of. But then these Torterra things rouse and wake up. And kind of like very lazily, like sloths, they look around and then they settle right back down where they came from. And I'm like, what the heck was that? What a tremendous waste of like 5 or 6 minutes of film time. Like, you're going to wake them up to look around and fall back asleep? The only benefit to that happening, aside from obviously like fan service, if people like those characters, oh wow, they put those in the movie, that's incredible, which I don't know. I don't have a point of reference for that. So as your casual, mostly awake, movie-going person in the theater, I was so angry with this movie. At that point, I'm like, number one, the whole like escape while the mountains were moving thing didn't make any sense. Like, it was so unbelievable, and I know this is the guy that likes superhero movies, so shoot me. It was so unbelievable. Like, I was like, what, not a scratch, not a broken bone, not like a concussion, something happening to these characters, at least the human ones? But then the cause of all of that mess, just goes right back to sleep. And nothing happens.
I assumed it was kind of like when Ant-Man turns giant. Like, he can move around for a bit, but then he's just too big and he gets tired and goes over. So,
all right, justify it, Spencer. Just justify it.
That's like the best I could come up with. But I was like, okay, whatever. I was thinking about why you would probably have a problem with Psyduck and I wouldn't. And I think it's probably because I have a context and
you knew what to expect. Yeah.
It's because, like,
I had no idea what to expect. It looked ugly. It was an ugly looking duck, first of all, and then it was annoying.
Yeah, see, I've had years of a girl named Misty from the show yelling at her Psyduck to just knock it off. So, like,
what an interesting choice to make the Psyduck a recurring, like, prominent character.
Yeah, it was a recurring character in both the show and this movie. It was a fun choice. The reason why, like, certain Pokemon kept coming back up is because those specific ones, for the most part, had big ties to the show. Like,
okay,
Pikachu is a big part of the show. Remember that Pokemon I was talking about that burned its trainer?
Yeah.
That was the Charizard that Pikachu fought in the arena. That was
okay.
The type that, like, there was a Charizard
yeah.
in the show for a long period of time. Same with Psyduck. So, like a lot of the Pokemon that they focused on are, like, you know, kind of staple Pokemon to, like, the TV show, and so there's, like, a lot of connection for people who've seen that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So once the Torteras go back to sleep, the dramatic swell of the movie toward its, like, climax moment is Pikachu was injured. Detective Pikachu was injured in all the mess that happened. It's the one thing that realistically occurred was that in all that conflagration, somebody would get hurt. It happens to be Pikachu, and then Tim, who's grown more fond of Pikachu by this point, doesn't want Pikachu to faint. Pikachu is dying, people. Detective Pikachu is about to pass away because he got hit in the tummy with a stone. So
yeah, I'll admit that was a bit
Tim
odd.
Begs these other small turtle looking things.
Bulbasaurs,
please, can you get my friend some help, or my partner?
Mm-hmm.
And they do this weird slow parade through a canyon that involves the Bulbasaurs and these weird floating flower ones.
Don't know what those were.
And these other worm looking things that unfolded and flew as well.
Oh, I thought we were talking about that at first, so I don't know what the middle thing was.
Well, there were the ones that had, like, flowers on top of their heads, and then there were these other, like, ring ones that were like ringworms that flew in the air and did something else. Maybe they were the same. I don't know. They lead them to put Pikachu on this stone platform, and then who shows up but
YouTube.
Dun dun dun, the bad guy, the evil one that's, like, throwing shade and throwing sparkles and blowing stuff up and
sparkles,
deleting people from car accident scenes.
Yeah, so Mewtwo shows up and then attempts to fix Pikachu. And from this point, you can tell that Pikachu and Mewtwo have a past connection, and Mewtwo begins to try to explain what the heck is going on in this movie with Pikachu.
Finally.
I know. I was like, okay, let's get somewhere. Then a character that we have not talked about yet. What is his name? His name is not important because it wasn't listed in this. Oh, it's Roger Clifford, whose father, Howard Clifford, made the town of Ryan City, has come to basically take Mewtwo away, and he just takes him in his portable laboratory, I suppose, and they just head back for the city.
So they can be in time for the parade.
Yes, the parade everyone's been talking about for the week, so I was like, okay.
And, like, this was an interesting part to, so Roger Clifford is the son who like runs the TV station, like the media and all that kind of stuff. And his father, he founded Rhyme City as a place for humans and Pokemon to live in harmony together because he discovered due to a serious illness that the most healing thing was to live in harmony with each other. And there were unexpected benefits to not just like having them train and then fight in an arena. And you really don't know what's going on. And this the father character is played by Bill Nighy. Those of you familiar with the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise would know him as Davy Jones, the one with the octopus for a head.
Okay.
And so Bill Nighy is basically paraplegic, and he's discovered some way to prolong his life and get better and whatnot. You don't know what it is at first, but then his son is this conniving, evil, you know what, who is now capturing Mewtwo and taking Mewtwo to the city. And Pikachu's better by this point, but not normal. Like, still is talking like a human being, and they still haven't figured out exactly what happened to his partner, Tim's dad.
Right.
We're still like, okay, so the one that did it just almost confessed to something and then got captured again, so we still need to go chase them down to figure out what in the world is going on. And they literally, they've got this parade going on in Rhyme City, and the parade floats are literally like Macy's Day balloons, and it's the literal like Pikachu balloon from the Macy's Day parade on Thanksgiving, right? And then other ones, you know, other shapes. But I'm like, now that I recognize, that's the balloon from the Thanksgiving Day parade. Thank you, Macy's.
Yeah. So at this point in the movie, Pikachu has finally learned how to do some of his electric attacks.
Yes, he has.
So now we have a fighting Pikachu. So that's, I was actually kind of excited about that. See more action from him. So at this point, you've got Tim, who's going back to warn Howard Clifford of what his son is up to. He gets up to his office, and it's at this point that we learn that he is the true bad guy of the film. Not Mewtwo and not his son, because apparently he threw his son into a closet.
Yeah. Yeah, the son has been totally, like, bust into a closet like a piece of luggage. And the thing that's masquerading around as the sun.
Okay, we need to talk about this because this is disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
Okay.
It explains why the sun was wearing sunglasses all the time. But
all right, so in this movie, Ditto has the ability to become a human. And
is that not normal?
I want to say no, because normally Dittos can perfectly like replicate what they're trying to turn into. There was an episode where one specific one could do everything but the eyes, so it was interesting that this Ditto could do everything but people's eyes.
So creepy.
Yeah,
I'm like, if you've made it to this point in the movie without being creeped out, this is what's gonna creep you out. Like, children will have nightmares.
The thing is, though, like, as a kid, seeing Ditto like become like a Pikachu with messed up eyes, it was fine. It was funny. It didn't look terrifying. This movie brings a level of realism to it that I did not want.
It is not okay.
No, like, normally all the other Pokemon look great, actually. They look very realistic and, like, they belong in the world that they're in.
Yeah.
Ditto. Ditto's kind of the wild card when he's transforming into things. It doesn't look well, something is terribly wrong.
Something is terribly wrong. Like, throw up in your mouth kind of wrong.
Yeah. So,
like, the uncanny valley doesn't even really explain the reaction.
No, because we've blasted out of the valley.
Yeah, like, this is just like, wow. Those eyes are a thing of just the underworld. It's so bad. But, so we don't want to give away too much of the climactic moment of the movie. There's a final battle. Mm. It involves Pikachu being able to lightning his way around a little bit more. It involves Mewtwo. It involves Howard the father. It involves the balloons from the parade. It's an interesting whole setup. And then by the time the smoke clears, so to speak, you finally get some resolution about what's been going on with Tim's father.
Yes.
And this was the part that really surprised me. I don't think it's a super huge spoil, but Ryan Reynolds actually is physically in the movie.
Yeah.
Not just the voice of Pikachu, but himself as a human performer is in the movie.
Yes, it was probably about halfway in where I was like, oh, I bet they're going to bring in Ryan Reynolds because like they did something and I was like, I think I know where this movie's going.
Now, is that normal? Is that some? Is that like that aspect of how that happened and how it unhappened?
There is no precedent for
that. Okay, good.
Because like when Mewtwo was like, wild. I can do this. I was like, you can? Because that's not a power
liar.
Set I am familiar with. Mewtwo was like my favorite psychic Pokemon. I had him in my party. That, like, the closest he's ever been able to do something like this, to my knowledge, is he's been able to manipulate people into doing things for him in the first movie. That's the closest he's gotten to this.
Yeah, because in this movie, Mewtwo is ultimately, like, ridiculously powerful.
He normally is.
Mewtwo's just like... I mean, it's sort of like the Oprah Winfrey of Pokemon, right? Like, where Oprah's like, and you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. Mewtwo, at some point in the climax of the film, is like, and I'm going to do this to you, and I'm going to do it to you, and I'm going to do it to you, and I'm going to do it to you. And I have, like, boundless energy. I never tire out. It's just always, this is the way the whole world is going to work now.
Yeah. No, Mewtwo is one of the strongest Pokemon in the series.
And that's because he was made, not born.
Correct. He's one of the few Pokemon that is made by people.
Can dig it.
Yeah, because Mewtwo is actually like the extra boss in the first Red and Blue Pokemon games. It's like super hard to get. So like it makes sense that he's like the strongest here as well.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And how did you feel by the time everything shakes out in the end? How did you feel about the experience of this movie? Detective Pikachu, not Detective Pokemon, as I called it all last week.
This probably has the title of the best video game movie now because it was interesting.
Really?
Yeah, because all of the other ones are garbage. It did not have a competition. The one who had the title before this for me was Wreck-It Ralph, and that kind of doesn't kill because Wreck-It Ralph wasn't
made
really...
made up game.
Yeah, it was a made-up game. So,
Wreck-It Ralph is super good, though.
Yeah, it is. But that's kind of the closest we've had before this. So Detective Pikachu, for me, is the best video game movie. It's taking 30 years to get here. But, like, it's a pretty decent movie for what it's trying to accomplish. So I'm pretty pleased with it.
Interesting. I will say there were a lot of elements that annoyed me about this movie. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's because I have no familiarity whatsoever with these characters.
Yeah, I can totally understand where you're coming from, where if you don't have the certain context that this movie is trying to draw from, you're going to be annoyed and confused.
But one thing I can say is, as a total outsider watching it, in the beginning, I was worried. Like, as soon as they showed Mewtwo, and it was like, this one's ugly and really powerful, and I think I'm supposed to know something that I don't know. Within, like, the first 30 seconds, I'm supposed to know, like, how powerful he is or why he's in a ball of a cage thing.
He's always in a ball for some weird reason.
And so I was worried, like, oh, gosh, this entire movie is going to be obtuse. It's going to be, like, above my head. I'm not going to get it. Granted, there was a lot that I didn't really understand in terms of like the window dressing parts of the story.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this cameo appearance and that one in the background and whatever. But it did a pretty decent job of telling the main story. I was never lost on like what the objectives of the characters were or generally speaking where they were in the landscape, even when that landscape was moving and annoying me even more than Psyduck. But I will give it props for not losing me from like a story flow narrative standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I did know like where we were in terms of the story arc. I did not usually know exactly what was going on, and I certainly didn't know what most of the characters were called, or probably what most of them could even do, because most of them don't demonstrate powers. They just occupy space in the frame, and you're like, oh, wow, there's that one. So, yeah, I it didn't totally lose me, and I was worried in the beginning that it was going to totally lose me quick. Mm. So they did a pretty good job making it somewhat accessible.
Yeah. Like, a lot of the Pokemon things are just, you know, a kid in the candy store type thing. Like, ooh, I recognize that one, and I recognize that one. Like, actually, the office of whatever his name, Clifford, like Howard Clifford.
Yeah.
Like, he had three Pokemon statues in his office that were of the Pokemon that are probably stronger than Mewtwo, like of the time Pokemon, the space Pokemon, and the, I forget what that one was. It's basically a god Pokemon.
Wow.
Yeah. So like, it was like, there's lots of interesting details in the background if you're familiar with the franchise. So it's, so sometimes there's a lot going on and you're not fully paying attention to what people are saying because you're just like, I know who Arceus is.
And that detail was totally lost on me. I didn't even know he had statues in his office, to be honest with you. Interesting. So as we wrap up then, I'm assuming the movie probably passes for you if you're going to say it's the best video game adaptation we've seen.
Yeah.
But so it's going to pass for you, and how many monocles would you give it?
Okay, I'm based on... No, I'm just going to give it a 4 with no qualifications because I think it's a pretty decent movie, especially for being like, I was just really hoping for not a crappy video game movie. Like, we've had years of this. Sonic is coming out in November.
Oh, mercy. Yeah. Talk about ugly.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Like, oh. That also, like, just they previewed the Sonic trailer before this, and I'm like, night and day difference. Like, that, yeah. Like, Sonic was my nightmare for this movie. I was scared it was going to look off-putting like that.
Yeah.
But they did a fantastic job of just making these Pokemon look realistic.
Yeah. I would say that they did a better job with Pikachu than the other ones.
Oh, of course, because he's a star.
But, yeah, I mean, that's because he's Pikachu, for crying out loud. He's the one that people know when they don't know Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like me.
He has a Macy's Day Parade balloon.
Yes, he does.
They just gave the other ones them in this movie to make them feel better.
Yeah. As for me, I'll also give the movie a pass because it didn't lose me, and I thought it was going to. I'm trying to figure out how forgiving to be with the monocle score, though, because as somebody who's not familiar with this universe... I think from a storytelling perspective, they didn't lose me. I understood what was happening the whole time, but I also understood that I was missing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for what I was missing to be accessible to me, I would have to spend like weeks of time catching up on things.
Don't do that.
Exactly.
And you should just score it from like what you know, because then they have two spectrums of like someone who knows Pokemon. And
so immediately after the movie, I was actually maybe it was the day after. Anyway, I was on the phone with my fiance, and she knows how we give monocle scores, and she goes, "So how many are you going to give it?" And I'm like, "Honestly, 2.5 and she goes, "Wow, that's really low." And I'm like, "No, I was expecting to give it like 0 or like 0.5 because I don't know Pokemon." And I thought that it was going to remain pretty inaccessible to me. So from where I'm starting at, I feel like 2.5 is actually a really fair score for somebody completely out of the loop to still give it 50%. Out of a total of 5. But then I thought about it for a couple of days and I'm like, you know what? Maybe that is too low because, like you've mentioned, so many video game adaptations or board game adaptations or whatever, Battleship, I'm looking at you, just are terrible. They're just not even watchable, some of them.
Yeah.
This one, it's hard to appreciate all that is there that is meant for you to appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a total train wreck. So I'm like, maybe that actually bumps it up to a 3 out of 5, which for me, I think for this particular property is a pretty high score. It's much higher than I would have told you going in. Like going in, I would have said, I'll probably give it 0.5, maybe a whole star if they do something really cool. So giving it 3 whole stars or monocles is not bad.
Yeah.
Because I still didn't have any earthly clue what most of them were doing or why they were there or how the relationship between human and Pokemon ever works.
Yeah, that's really an ongoing question.
I mean, it's a very odd. Every story has its own, like, internal logic. And I think, at the very least, they stuck with it here.
Yeah, no, definitely.
They didn't seem to do anything that most fans, like you or somebody who has seen everything they've ever done, I don't think, it didn't seem to be the kind of movie that would be controversial in that way. That's like, oh, they changed that. That's sacrilegious. It's terrible.
Yeah, there's no sacrilegious changes in this movie. People are going to probably raise an eyebrow at that Mewtwo thing at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But besides that, they've done a pretty good job on just, like, one, like, kind of bring some, like, parts of the show forward, and two, making things look good and mesh well together, and just kind of respecting the Pokemon property, which I guess is kind of weird for, like, a video game adaptation to be respected. It took Detective Pikachu for them to be respected.
Well, and to make them realistic-ish without sacrificing their really likable cartoonish qualities.
Yeah.
You know, like, you've seen Super Mario Brothers. that's a mess. The way that they tried to make it realistic. Obviously, you mentioned Sonic the Hedgehog. That's already a train wreck.
I want to see that train wreck.
But, I mean, I think even something like Scooby-Doo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scooby-Doo, the cartoon, has a certain look, and you're used to it and you like it. And then for the movies, they were like, well, Scooby-Doo is a Great Dane, sort of Mastiff. So we'll go ahead and make, like, the real dog version of Scooby-Doo. It just doesn't feel the same.
Yeah.
And here, like, Pikachu looked like Pikachu, but with, like, three-dimensional textured fur or whatever it is that he's covered with.
Yeah, like, I was noticing on, like when they did close-up of, like, some of the Pokemons, like, they had, like, texture and a feel to them. And
yeah.
I was like, especially when they showed Mewtwo up close, I was like, oh, I never even thought of him as textured in, like, that purple spot. So I was like, this is really cool. Like, there's so much detail there.
Yeah, so it's good because they respect the source, and they sort of make it somewhat realistic looking at the same time. And most adaptations like this go one way or the other. They make it like humans interacting with literal cartoons, or they make the cartoon characters so realistic that you don't like them anymore. They don't look like they should.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a pretty good job here making them, I mean, total outsider. But they made them look like they do in the video games and the cartoon shows and stuff. Just three-dimensional.
Yeah.
So, cool. Well, I think we made it through the episode, Spencer.
Yes! We didn't burn anything down.
This is the part in the show where we would normally have Eddie read off some upcoming movies. The only one I know off the top of my head is John Wick 3.
Yeah, I don't know if it's this weekend or next weekend, but I am super excited about Brightburn coming out.
Oh, yeah.
I really want to see that one.
Evil Superboy.
Yeah, that's going to be good. So, that's all I know.
There's not truth, justice, in the American way in that movie.
Nope.
So, I'm sure that there are things coming out in the theater that you'd love to see and have us talk about, and we're going to miss most of them. But, yeah, Detective Pikachu might actually be one. If you're familiar with the franchise, certainly, I'd say go ahead and give it a consideration. If you're not as familiar,
if you're not,
it won't put you to sleep.
No.
But you'll be kind of lost for most of the time, and it's maybe that's okay, because like me, now I'm going to relate a lot better to the friends and family that I forced to go see Marvel movies with me, and I'm like, yes, I understood everything about that. That was so clever. And they're like, I have no idea what happened.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah. So, you know, taste of my own medicine, I guess, so to speak.
All right. Well, you can visit us anytime at our website on filmlosophers.com and check out all of our archives of previous episodes.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah. So from the Filmlosophers, I'm Spence.
I'm Chad.
And we will check you out next time.